It is 7 o'clock. Good evening, everybody, and thank you for coming to learn together for a little bit this evening. So as always, we're going to go with two questions, and you'll tell me which one you would like to discuss this evening. I don't remember if I've asked any of these questions in the past. I've been holding on to them for, I think, more than 1 week, for maybe 2 weeks. So if I have, and they've already been outvoted and you don't want to hear about them, so let me know, and I'll pull some other ones. But okay, here are the two questions. One, I got a question from a Talmud who told me he's asking on behalf of somebody else, and I believe him because it cannot possibly be on behalf of himself since he's married. But the Shaila was as follows. There's a boy in yeshiva, apparently, who is dating a girl and has been dating her for 2 months, and it's gotten quite serious. He's pretty sure, in fact, that this is the girl for him. He is a Ben Torah. He's certainly not interested in a long dating process. He wants it to go, more yeshivish style after a couple of months, to be engaged soon thereafter and go from there and marry just a couple of months after that. However, his parents come from a different place, both geographically and hashkafically. And as far as they know, he's just, probably stum hanging out with girls because that's what people do of his age. And they have no idea about sort of like the whole world that he lives in. If he were to tell them that he has only known this girl for 2 months, they would never let him get engaged. They would absolutely not allow him to get engaged. So he wants to know if it's permissible to tell his parents that he's been dating her for 8 months instead of 2 months, so that they'll be more comfortable with the situation and they won't get in the way of his desire to get engaged to this girl. So rather than ask me the question, he sent someone else into my office to ask me the question. So that is Shaila number one. Shaila number two, I got from an NCS, someone who works for NCSY, who apparently one of his NCSYers has just started college just moved into the dorm in college. I guess they were on Zoom all year and they didn't have to experience living on a college campus, but they're going to a secular college and they have a roommate who is a non-Jew. And the Shaila is that whether they should put up a mezuzah on the room, and Dafka with the caveat that they very much want to put up a mezuzah on the room. And the reason they want to put up a mezuzah on the room is that they feel sometimes that their Yiddishkeit is slipping or being challenged in some way or another. And having a mezuzah on the room, they feel, is going to be helpful to them to sort of keep them in line. Is there anything wrong? So number one, are they chayiv to put up a mezuzah? And number two, if they're not chayiv, may they put up a mezuzah on the room, even if not chayiv to do so? So these are the two shadows. So the way we've been doing this, for those who are new here, is through the chat. We've been voting which Shaila we want to discuss. So again, Shaila number one, can you lie to your parents about how long you've been dating a girl? And Shaila number two, in order to allow them to allow you to get engaged. And Shaila number two, putting a mezuzah on a college dorm room. So far, it is unanimous. It seems, we have one vote for Shaila number two, but two votes. But I don't think Shaila number two can make the comeback at this point. I think it's pretty clear that we're going to go with Shaila number one. That's pretty clear. Okay, so I guess we'll go to Shaila number one. Who knows? Maybe if we have time, we'll get to Shaila number two as well. So let's start with Shaila number one. Can a person lie to his parents about how long he's been dating, and in order to get them to approve of his getting engaged, considering, and it may save him from other averos, from other isurim? A protracted process certainly could cause him greater taivas and put him in a situation where there's a greater likelihood of violating averos. So is it permissible to lie to his parents about this? So I think there are a couple of things that we need to look at over here. Meaning in general, whenever you have a shailin halacha, you always have to figure out where to open up the Shulchan Aruch, like which area of Shulchan Aruch are we looking at. So certainly one thing we have to look at is lying in general. Are you allowed to lie? And under what circumstances are you allowed to lie? Obviously, over here, it's not just about lying, but this is about one's parents. So that always opens up the issue of kibud av ve'em. Additionally, it seems that in this case we have a third issue to deal with, and that is the issue of Genevas Das, because Mistama, the parents are not only going to give their approval, but they'll also help pay for the wedding, and they may not agree to pay for a wedding after their son has only been dating for 2 months, but they may agree to pay for a wedding if the son has been dating for longer. And when you lie to someone in order to get them to give you something, so that might be an issue of Geneva's Das. And then, of course, what we have to look at is what they call the fifth Shulchan Aruch, that, you know, even when something is permissible, it's not always wisest to go with that which is permissible. For example, if you look at Hilchos Kibud Av V'Em, so there is a halacha, black on white in Shulchan Aruch, that if a parent tells a child that I don't want you to marry this person that you fell in love with and that you want to marry, that the child does not have to listen to the parent. A parent, we paskin in the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin, that Kibrav is Mishal Av, it's not Mishal Ben. The child doesn't have to give up their whole happiness in life in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Kibrav Aim. They do have to make a serious effort, and they have to put in a lot of time and a lot of energy, but they don't have to put in money, and they certainly don't have to give up their whole happiness in life and their ability to be married to the person that they want to be married to in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. Nevertheless, I would bet that if you were to go to most responsible rebbeim, when a young man comes, I know certainly to me, when a young man comes to me and says, my parents don't want me to marry this girl, but I'm going to do it anyway, because it says so in Shulchan Aruch, that I can do it anyway. So a responsible advisor, whether it be a rebbe or someone else, might say, well, let's take a step back for a second. Let's try to think about this. Is there a reason that your parents don't want you to marry? Is it just because your parents dislike you and they want you to suffer? Or maybe there's something here. Maybe there's some reason that your parents don't want you to marry this girl. Maybe there's something that they see that in all of your life experience, maybe you don't necessarily see yet. Sometimes the parents are stop being crazy. Sometimes it happens to be the parents just that girl is not fancy enough for us. You know, she's too much of a plain Jane or something like that. You know, and that's or like I always imagined that that my son is going to marry a brunette and not a blonde. That girl's blonde. She looks like a shiksa. I don't want to, you know, something like that. That would be ridiculous. Sometimes parents are crazy, but sometimes they actually love their they always in my experience love their child, and sometimes they're not misguided. Sometimes they see something there. They see that the girl's midos are something that could really spell trouble, or something else that that maybe spells trouble for the shidduch. And at that point you have to really take a look at whether this is really the right thing to do. So that's always the fifth Shulchan Aruch we're going to have to look at, which is even if it's mutter, is it worthwhile to do? But before we get to the even if it's mutter, we first have to discuss, is it mutter, right? Is it mutter to actually tell the lie? So is there an isser to tell a lie? It seems that there is. It seems that all of the Rishonim assume that you're not, and the Gemara assume that you're not allowed to lie, because there are a few passages in the Gemara that tell us the exceptions of when you are allowed to lie, implying that generally speaking, you're not allowed to lie. Now, it's true, the Torah tells us, midvar sheker tirchak, but it's not abundantly clear from the pasuk that it's talking about all situations, that just stam, telling a lie, is included in the isra of midvar sheker tirchak. In fact, the Gemara in Maseches Shavuos has a long, I think almost like a whole amud of Gemara about what circumstances are covered by midvar sheker tirchak. And av lamed aleph amed aleph in Maseches Shavuos, the Gemara says, let me just find some examples over here. So the Gemara says, well, certainly in Eidos, the Torah says, Losan v'reacha eid shaker. But the Gemara gives a bunch of other examples that might be minayin lenosha bechaveru mana shelo yomer atanenu b'masayim kedei sheyodeli b'mana v'yischayev lishvua v'al galgal olav shvua mimakom acher. How do I know that if someone owes me $100, that you shouldn't say, you know what, I'm going to claim $200 so that he'll be moda that he owes me $100, and then he's going to be chayev shvua because it's going to be a moda b'miktas, and he's going to be willing to take that shvua because he's going to be telling the truth, and once I have him taken a shvua, then I'll be megalgel another shvua that I want him to take, that I don't have the halachic right to force him to take. Be I could use the concept of gilgal shvua to make him chayiv. How do I know you can't do that? Tamlam midvar sheker tirchak. Minayin l'noshu b'chaver amana v'taynu masayim shalo yamar ach brena b'beizdin va'od l'lichutz l'beizdin kidei shalo is chayiv lo shvua. How do I know that if someone claims $200 and I know that I am $100, that I shouldn't deny it entirely in Beis Din, because I know that if I deny it entirely, I'm going to have to take a Shavua. Let me just be modded it outside of Beis Din, so I won't have to take a Shavua, and that way I'll avoid a Gilgal Shavua. Again, Midvar Sheker Tirchak. And on and on and on. The Gemara gives many, many examples about Midvar Sheker Tirchak, but none of them are just... don't say something that's a straight-out lie. They're all examples of gaming the system, of working through, doing something somewhat dishonest in order to achieve some sort of advantage. So what exactly is the nature of this iser of telling a lie? Now, in general, in halacha, we divide mitzvos and isurim usually into two categories, right? We have mitzvos ben adam l'chavero and mitzvos ben adam l'makom, and certainly the Asaras HaDibros, the Gaonim already point out that the Asaras HaDibros seem to be divided along those lines, that the first five Dibros are all Ben Adam L'Chavero, Ben Adam L'Makom, and the second five are all Ben Adam L'Chavero, and Kibra Ve'im is the bridge between them, because it's both, according to Minchas Chinuch Mitzvah Lamed Gimel, where he discusses whether Kibra Ve'im is Mitzvah Ben Adam L'Chavero, Ben Adam L'Makom. He seems to work with the assumption that there are rayas in both directions, and it's possible that it's both Ben Adam L'Chavero and Ben Adam L'Makom, but there is a third category as well. The Gra, in a few places, in Adaras Eliyahu and Sefer Dvarim, and also in his commentary on Mishlei, the Gra develops the idea that there's not only Ben Adam L'Chaver Ben Adam L'Makom, there's also such a thing as mitzvos Ben Adam La'atzmo, as mitzvos that are really midos. It's really just about being a good person. When it comes to telling a lie, it seems clearly that it's not a violation Ben Adam L'Makom, but there is what to be done, whether it's a violation Ben Adam L'Chavero, or is it a violation Ben Adam La'atzmo? In fact, Rav Daniel Feldman wrote, I believe, his first English sefer called The Right and the Good. He discusses this chakira, and he has several nafkaminas. For example, nafkamina number one, what if you don't harm anybody? You tell a lie that is harmless, that doesn't hurt anybody. So is that going to be an iser? If the iser of telling a lie is ben adam l'chavero, well, if it doesn't hurt anybody, it's not a violation ben adam l'chavero. But if the iser of telling a lie is just it hurts your neshama to be a liar, it hurts your neshama to be telling lies, so then it would be aser. The Sefer Yireim in Osreish Lamed Hay says, right, Daniel Albert writes, nafkamina would be, do you ask for forgiveness on Yom Kippur? Right, if it's Ben Adam L'Chavero, you certainly, the way to do tshuva. Rav Yonasan Sacks has a beautiful shir where he explains five nafkaminas between mitzvot Ben Adam L'Makom and mitzvot Ben Adam L'Chavero. So one of those nafkaminas is how to do tshuva for it. Right, the mitzvot Ben Adam L'Chavero, you need to ask for mechila. Some of those nafkaminas work as nafkaminas between Ben Adam L'Chavero and Ben Adam L'Atzmo as well. Right, like whether you have to ask mechila when doing tshuva certainly would be such a category. Some of those nafkaminas don't work. Like, for example, there's a nafkamina that you say brachos on mitzvos ben adam l'makom. The Rambam writes that all mitzvos ben adam l'makom, you're supposed to say a bracha over las yasan. But mitzvos ben adam l'chaver, we don't say birchas mitzvah on. Right, if before you go to be Menachem Avelim, you don't stop outside the door before you open the door of the house where you're going to do the Nichem Avelim and say Asher Kishon Sos Tzvan L'Nachem Es Avelim. You don't do that. Before we give tzedakah, we don't recite a bracha. Any mitzvah ben adam l'chavero, typically we do not recite a bracha. Mitzvah ben adam l'makom, we do recite a bracha, but ben adam l'atzmo, we certainly do not either. Right, so that would not be a nafkamina over here. There are other nafkaminas. Not going to end all the nafkaminas, but nafkamina whether it's ben adam l'chavero ben Latzmo, according to the Sefer Yireim, if it doesn't hurt anybody, it's not a Nisa D'Oraisa, it's only Nisa D'Rabanan. So that seems to imply that on a D'Oraisa level, it's a violation Ben Adam L'Chavero, and Mid Rabbanan, it's a violation Ben Adam La'atzmo as well. However, Rav Yeruchim Feshel Perlau in his commentary to the Smag Mitzvah Chaf Beis suggests that it's not even an Isser Midrabanan. That if it doesn't hurt anybody, it's perfectly fine. If it's a completely benign lie, I remember once when I was on vacation somewhere with my wife many, many years ago, and I think it was like 20 years ago, probably almost already, and we were in Sedona, Arizona, which, if you've never been, is probably the most beautiful place in this country that I've ever been. Probably the most beautiful place outside of Eretz Yisrael that I've ever seen, with the red mountains and everything. And apparently, one of the things you have to do when you go to Sedona is you need to take a Jeep ride. That's just what you do there. We took a Jeep ride, and I happen to be an antisocial person. I don't love talking to strangers. My wife loves it. She loves talking to people. She, you know, it's like her favorite thing. You know, like I try to send her to the Kiddush and I try to sneak out. On the Jeep ride with all these other people around, they try to make it a friendly thing, which I hate. So they go around asking everyone their names. And that makes it even worse because everyone else there is not Jewish, and me and my wife are Jewish, and my name is Aryeh, and they never heard the name Aryeh before. So I'm going to say Aryeh, it's going to start a whole conversation of what is it, what does that mean, you know, this, that. I was not interested. They said, what's your name? So I said, Dave. I figured that would put an end to the conversation. I just figured I won't have to deal with it. So for the rest of the Jeep ride, every once in a while, they would say, hey, Dave, check this out. And I totally ignored them because I don't respond to Dave. And my wife would be like elbowing me, Dave. So was that usher? Am I allowed to do that? Was that an avera to say that my name is Dave? So it didn't hurt anybody. No one seemed to really mind. It didn't really bother them one way or the other. But maybe it hurt my neshama to be able to say something that's untrue. So if it's a totally benign lie, that might be a nafkamina. Most Rishonim hold that it's aser anyway. Even Midaraisa, the Yad HaKtana points out that the lashon of midvar sheker tirchak sounds like any untruth is included regardless of whether it causes harm. Right? As long as it's a dvar sheker, you have to be tirchak, you have to distance yourself from it, which happens to be an interesting discussion also when we say that, it's an unusual way to say an iser. Midvar sheker tirchak. Just say lo sheker. Right? Why is midvar sheker tirchak? Does that mean that it's more severe or less severe? Meaning more severe than a lav, or it's not even a lav? It's just, you know, stay away from lies, but it's not a formal lo sasei. Or is it no? Not only is it usher, you have to distance yourself. You have to stay away from anything that even is close to a lie, from anything that even resembles a lie. Another nafkamina might be if you listen to lies. The Ateres Yirmiyahu and Sefer Shemos suggest that even hearing lies is a violation of Midvar Sheker Tirchak. Because it hurts your neshama, meaning by hearing things that are untrue, right? So let's say, for example, you hold that a particular news station only tells lies, all they do, which everyone holds that there is a particular news station that only tells lies. It's just a question of which news station you hold is the one that only tells lies, or if you hold all of them only tell lies. But let's say you hold, not getting political, so I'm not giving any examples. So you hold that a particular news station only tells lies. So is it usher to watch it? Because you're just hearing lies the whole time? They're telling you lie after lie after lie? Other than the fact that it's infuriating, but is it usher just because it's... They're telling you lies, so that might be enough gemina. If it's a nisr ben al chaver, you're not doing anything. But if it's a nisr ben al atzmo, so then it could be that even by listening, it's still having that impact on one's neshama. There are exceptions, though, to the isr to tell a lie. For example, the Gemara tells us that mishanim mipnei hashalom, we're allowed to lie for the sake of peace. The Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Samachem Beis, derives this. The Gemara tells us, Amar Rabbi Lo, Mishum Rabbi Lo, Rabbi Shimon, Mutter lo la'adam l'shanos bidvar hashalom. That it's mutter to be mishana for peace. Shenemar, Avicha tziva, kosar mel Yosef anasana, that Yaakov never told the Yosef that he has to forgive his brothers, but or told the brothers that Yosef has to forgive them, but they claimed that he did because of Darkei Shalom, in order to create Shalom. Or Rabbi Nassim or Mitzvah, that it's even a Mitzvah to lie for the sake of Darkei Shalom. Shneimar v'yomer Shmuel eiche leich v'shama shol v'argeni. How could I go? Shol's going to hear and he's going to kill me. So Hashem says, okay, take an eglas bakar, takes an animal with you, and say that you're going to shecht the animal. So you see that Hashem is telling him to lie for the sake of peace. And not only that, to be Rabbi Shmuel Tana, God Hashem Shavakadosh Baruch Hu Shinabo. That not only is it okay to lie for the sake of peace, not only is it mitzvah to lie for the sake of peace, no less a figure than the Ribbono Shalom himself lied for the sake of peace. That when reporting what Sarah had said back to Avram Avinu, the Ribbono Shel Olam changes it a little bit. She had said Vadoni Zakein, and Ribbono Shel Olam reports to Avram Avinu that she said Vani Zakanti. So apparently, when it comes to for the sake of Shalom, you're allowed to lie. So wait a second. Maybe in our case, let's go back to our case for a moment. Maybe in our case, this is called lying for the sake of Shalom, and therefore would be mutter. So the difficult thing about lying for the sake of Shalom is that one has to be cautious that not everything that just makes your life a bit easier is necessarily classified as for the sake of Shalom. Meaning this person doesn't want to have this conversation with their parents, so they'll call it for the sake of Shalom, so that instead of explaining to their parents, this is the world I come from, and this is done all the time, and it's okay, and yeah, whatever, or trying to figure it out together with the parents, trying to come sort of to some sort of compromise, which is normally how it works, you know, in those situations when the parents and the children don't see eye to eye on how long of an engagement there should be, or how long of a courtship there should be. So instead of having to compromise, you know, I'll just lie. So that's not necessarily for the sake of Shalom. That's for the sake of you winning an argument that you would otherwise lose, or that you would otherwise have to give in on. I don't know if you can call that Shalom. Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein has such a shaila. He had a case where he had a funny shaila. What was it? A case where a guy was recently married, and his wife never had dinner prepared for him when he came home, and he was getting frustrated that he never had dinner ready. So he decided one day on the way home, he's going to stop off at the local burger joint, and he's going to buy himself a nice big double burger and eat it on the way home, and that way he'll be full and he won't be upset when he gets home. So he came home, and his wife said he ate his hamburger on the way home, didn't tell his wife, and his wife said to him when he got home, I feel bad. I haven't been making you dinner recently or having dinner ready in time, so I made your favorite dish. I made lasagna or eggplant parmesan or something like that, your favorite dish for dinner tonight. And he just ate fleisch. It was like 10 minutes ago. And now she made for him his favorite dish. So was he allowed to lie and say, oh, I'm so sorry, someone at work made a siyum and they brought chicken nuggets and I had just one bite of a chicken nugget and now I can't, oh, I wish I would have known, you know, instead of saying, well, you know, dinner hasn't been up to snuff lately, and I therefore decided that I'm going to go to the burger joint, you know, which would mean that he better have a comfortable couch if he says that. So they asked Rav Zilberstein, is that a case of Mishan Mipnei HaShalom? And he wasn't convinced that it is. Just because you're saving yourself the trouble of having to have that conversation, it doesn't necessarily mean Mishan Mipnei HaShalom, that would be an example of lying for the sake of Shalom. It's true that there is this idea that it's even a mitzvah to be mishana mipnei shalom. I mean, nafkamina between it being a mitzvah or being just a heter is should you go out of your way to lie for the sake of peace. I mean, if you could avoid the situation entirely, but it won't generate that peace. Or you can confront the situation and tell a lie that will generate peace, so maybe you should dafka do that. So that would be one nafkamina. The Gemara in Ksubis, Daf Tezayin and Beis, says Ketzan Merakdim Lefnei HaKala. So Beishamei Om Kala Kamoshi. Beishamei says when you're dancing in front of the Kala and you're saying something to the Chassan, you should say, give an honest assessment. You know, she is whatever, you know, describe whatever she might be. Whereas Beisil Om Kala Na V'Chasuda. Beisil says, no, you always say Kala Na V'Chasuda. So Beishamei says to the Beis Hillel, what do you mean? She's a chigeres or a suma. She's objectively not na'av a chasuda, and you're going to lie? HaTorah Amra Midvar Sheker Tirchak. You're not allowed to tell a lie. So the Beis Hillel says back to the Beis Shammai, when your neighbor buys a new car or something expensive, Do you give an honest assessment, or do you say, "Oh, that's so beautiful"? No, you say that's so beautiful because you're supposed to be daita moreves in marbrios. So apparently, even when you don't have to say anything, you should go out of your way to lie. If that's in fact the derech eretz, if that's in fact the right thing to do in that situation. I remember at my brother's wedding. One of my brother's good friends, Shraga Goldenhirsch, went over to him at the end of the wedding, and he said, or during the dancing, he said, "Kalanov chasuda and I paskin like the Beis Shammai." You know, that was the yeshivish way of being some chasam kala. That even according to Beis Shammai, it was kalanov chasuda. So, when it comes to lying over here, it doesn't seem that that's that it's clear, at least, that we have a heter to lie in this case. What about kibud av'eim? Is this a violation of kibud av'eim if he's going to want to marry this girl and his parents are not happy with him marrying the girl before they're ready for it to happen? So the actual marrying the girl before his parents want him to is probably not a violation of kibud av'eim, because even if his parents never want him to marry the girl, he's allowed to marry the girl. Meaning that's the halacha in Shulchan Aruch that we alluded to before. That if a parent says, "No, this girl's not for you, you cannot marry her," you don't have to listen to a parent in that case. So if a parent is telling you when to marry the girl, it does not seem to be a violation of kibud av'eim to choose to marry her at a different at a different time. However, I think Kneivas Das might be a real issue over here. The Gemara in Chulin Daf Tzadi Dal tells us, "Asu lignov das abrios, afilu das akum." You're not allowed to be gonev das abrios, and Kneivas Das means that you tell somebody something, or you give someone the impression that's a false impression in order to try to encourage them or convince them that to give you something or to do something for you. So it would seem that this is a violation of Gneivas Das, because if he wants his parents to pay for any part of the wedding, it would seem to be a violation of Gneivas Das. It would seem to be a violation of Gneivas Das if he wants his parents to pay for the wedding, because he's trying to get them to do something that they otherwise wouldn't do based on a false premise. So then the question is, even if it is technically mutter, even if the parents aren't going to pay, or they would pay anyway, they would just not be happy about it. So it's not going to be a Gneivas Das issue. It's only going to be, meaning I'm not sure that that it's a violation of Gneivas Das if you lead them to believe that you've been dating for longer than you have without actually lying to them. If it were not a monetary issue, meaning if you weren't trying to get something from them, meaning if Stam just misleading somebody without trying to get some favor in return or curry favor in return, I'm not sure is a violation of Gneivas Das. But if the goal is to try to get something in return, to curry some favor in return, that would seem to be a violation of Gneivas Das. So at the end of the day, though, even if it were mutter, it seems that the shaila was not asked properly. Meaning, the person needs a mora derech. They need someone who can advise them. They need someone who can work through the situation with them. So to go to have a friend ask on your behalf, and you don't even ask the question yourself, so the person answering the shaila has no idea who you are. If they don't know who you are, for all I know, the person asking the question is an unstable person, and the parents are 100% right. He needs a lot more time. He's just going to ask a shaila out of thin air. For all I know, there's a whole history with the parents that I don't know. There are a million factors that could come into play. This is the kind of thing that, from a fifth Shulchan Aruch perspective, requires a serious conversation. It's not something that you can just, sometimes when asking halachic shailas, people think they could just, it's like drop a shaila in a box somewhere and someone will answer the shaila. Even when it comes to Hilchos Nida shailas, that's not a great idea. That's a very, very significant bidyevet that they have these drop boxes and things like that. And certainly when it comes to shailas of Hadracha and other things, it's really not a good idea. That it's important that these kinds of life decisions should really be handled by people who are able to have a conversation with you, and ideally, people who really know the person very well. So I would, given this shaila, I would refuse to answer it and say that this person really needs to ask his own rebbe or his own rav this shaila and have a serious conversation about it. And in general, like, what's the game plan in lying? They're never going to find out. It is going to backfire. This is just like such a stupid idea to lie to his parents. Like, you know, just like it's not going to end well. You know, it may be in a week from now, maybe in 2 weeks from now, maybe in a month from now, but it's not going to end well. You're not going to be able to hide it for that long. Anyway, that's it for tonight's year. So everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos, and Bez Hashem, we'll see you next week, same time.
Thank you.
My pleasure.